We asked the community to set up an advisory committee. Obviously, we're not in the community ourselves. We obviously have volunteers in the community, but we need the community to be able to identify its own needs rather than have an outside body like ourselves making decisions. So the advisory committee was set up last evening. There are five members on it. And if you go to the website, you'll see who the members are and the backgrounds. So it's a nice broad group from the community. And the intent is that when the applications come in, they'll come in to us centrally online. And then we will have a look just to be sure they meet the criteria. And then we will move them to the advisory committee probably in the first week of February. So people have until the 31st of January to apply. And we'll ask the advisory committee's advice in relation to the suitability, the appropriateness of the applications. It's not a huge amount of money in the context of the needs of Chrysler and its community. But we think at this stage applications for between 500 and 40,000 would be acceptable. And when you start to look at the various areas, particularly the trauma area, also the use of sports and youth development and youth activities and the link back in with, trauma-related supports and the building of resilience. Also, there is the commemorative side of it. And indeed, the families in particular were, you know, quite keen that this would not be lost, that there would be opportunities for groups, community groups, to seek funds, to honour the people who lost their lives and to remember them.
Yes, because so many are still very deep in their grief, very deep in their trauma, and working through that as best as any of us can humanly possible. And I suppose, and this is not really the role of the Red Cross, but it could be a role of some of this funding, is these people that were lost have to be remembered and not forgotten. We can't all move on as if it never happened and leave those who are deeply traumatised by this still behind us, if you know what I mean. And whether that's through trauma supports or projects honouring those that lost their lives, that's up to the community to determine that.
It is. And I mean, certainly what we are hearing is that the second anniversary was a tough, tough time for many people within the Chrysler community. So we think trauma support and building or rebuilding resilience in the community is a core piece. Now, but that can be done in loads of different ways. There's psychological first aid training, and you train a community in how to do that and how to be aware of the signs so that the community itself actually is delivering the service. But that can also be delivered through sports activities, development activities, social activities. You're just enabling people to grow and to deal with situations that are very, very raw.
This question isn't loaded or motivated in any way, shape or form, so I hope it doesn't come across like that. It's literally just a question that I've been asked in the past. You know, people donated almost €2 million through the Red Cross, and most of that now has been distributed. Obviously, people are entitled to their privacy and what have you, right? But is there a something of a breakdown or any is there any public access to how that money was spent? I don't know whether it was, you know, in cash payments or infrastructural payments or what have you. Just because people might text this in after you leave, and I just want to ask it now. What way does this normally work? I mean, obviously the Red Cross go through its protocols and there's oversight and all that kind of stuff. But will there ever be any public access to anonymised details of how this money was distributed?
Well, I think what might happen, what can happen now immediately is that when you go to the website for this new scheme.
Yeah, but I'm on about the
No, no, I know that's the reason. No, right. We deliberately put another document in with the scheme so that there's a link to a very detailed account of the expenditure in all the various categories. So that is
so
already
that's there.
It's there,
exactly.
And
that's
it's there because, look, people have the right to know the information, how the money was spent. We clearly don't identify particular individuals, but we're able to give quite a detailed analysis of where the monies went, what they were spent on, etc.
And I'm sure that's important for the Red Cross as
it
much
is,
as anyone else.
Yeah.
So the maximum, the minimum that can be applied for through this fund is €500 with a maximum of €40,000. These for any single funding applications. And have you decided, or is it to be determined, how the 165 plus will be distributed between, I don't know, you know, whether it is a commemoration or whether it is a new sporting initiative or something.
No, we haven't, because I suppose what we want to see, first of all, is we want to see what comes from the community. So we want to see what comes from the community, and we want the advice of the advisory committee to say, look, this is the best use of the money. And then it goes back to us, and we'll take the decision then back at the Red Cross. A couple of members of the board and a couple of the senior staff will take the final decision. And that's important because we're obviously responsible for the money and we're accountable for it. But equally, it was also clear in the various community meetings we had that nobody in the community wanted to take the actual decision as to where the money was going. Yeah. They said, listen, we're very happy to provide advice and direction, which is what they have done. But you in the end are going to have to take the decision and account for that decision, which is what we will do.
And I suppose the Red Cross had its role, and there has to be a stepping away. I don't want to phrase it as if it sounds like abandonment, don't get me wrong, but Red Cross has done this before in many different areas. Is this part of that sort of final phase, that some of this money has been held to one side, the community will have a good input as to where that goes, and then the Red Cross can sort of step away and allow the community to sort of build on from there, if that makes sense?
Well, it
not
does.
Abandon them, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I mean, firstly, I suppose, yes, from the point of view, we would like to bring a finality from a fund point of view, so that it's clear and we can be accountable for that. But that doesn't mean that we ourselves as an organisation will work away. We're here in the community, very, very strong in Donegal. And indeed, one of the areas of expertise that the Red Cross has, it's very involved in psychological first aid. Mm-hmm. And so we would love to see that being developed here in Donegal, Letterkenny, and in particular in Chrysler. So that would be one of our own agendas behind this.
All right, really interesting. So people can get more information by going to the website redcross.ie/Chrysler. Is there anything that we've missed out on or that you want to add or reaffirm before we wrap things up, Liam?
No, I mean, look, we appreciate the opportunity, and we'd appreciate if the link was on your own website as well.
No, of course, we'll share it, yeah.
So that we'd encourage people to actually have a look at it. There's a lot of detail in there, and they're also welcome to contact us for advice, because my name and email is there. People can ring, and we will talk them through it. And that was the point of the second meeting last night, was to give people an opportunity who had queries or questions to come and to meet with us and to talk those through.
Okay.
And we already have had the first application in, which we're delighted to say.
All right, brilliant. So check out all the details, redcross.ie/Chrysler. We'll share it on our social media and website as well for you, if you're more familiar with that URL or what have you, or just to remind you a little later on. But for now, Liam O'Dwyer, Red Cross advisor, thanks so much for your time.